British Sky Broadcasting presents I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, starring Adam Sandler as Chuck, Kevin James as Larry, Jessica Biel as Alex, and Dan Aykroyd as Captain Tucker. The film's written by Barry Fenaro, Alexander Payne, and Jim Taylor. It's directed by Dennis Dugan. Voiced by Stephen O'Neill on behalf of MCS Agency. Logos for Acres Entertainment and Happy Madison Productions are shown. Present day. Across the river from Manhattan Island, the New York suburb of Brooklyn. On one of its streets, an old-fashioned fire station with brick-fronted upper stories and stone archways underneath, inside one of which are fire engines parked. Round the back, a small tarmac sports yard where a game of basketball is underway amongst a group of half a dozen firemen wearing dark blue t-shirts and shorts. Chuck, a boyish-looking man in his early 40s with short dark hair, is on the ball. He scores and high-fives Larry, who is a burly guy of around the same age with short hair and a kind face. Chuck passes to Larry, who lobs the ball into the net from the three-point line. Then Chuck has the ball and is being tightly marked. Larry body checks the marker. A dark-haired woman in a garish jacket.
Chuck, I need to talk to you.
Hey, darling, what's the matter with you? You sound so upset.
You slept with my twin sister on Saturday. That's why I'm so upset.
How do you know for sure it wasn't you?
Because I wasn't there.
It sure looked like you were there to me.
Oh, he's dead.
Come on, let's figure this out together. This is a tricky situation. Do me a favor. Say, oh, Chuck, keep buttering my biscuit.
Get out of here.
No, I'm trying to do detective work here so we can both be happy. I'm confused, too. I feel violated.
Chuck, keep buttering my biscuit.
You're right, that wasn't you.
You are such a loser, Chuck.
Let it go, Darla.
Hey, look who's here.
He has moved up from Marshall's to Bloomingdale's.
He didn't even know it was you that night, Donna. That's
he
a
thought
joke.
It was me.
He knew it wasn't you because you would never do half the freaky stuff that we did.
Tell me, I don't have to satisfy
you,
man.
Shut you your mouth, here, you fat ass.
Come on! I don't fight you two. And your sisters, give each other a kiss and make up. You're the only sisters you got. Use your tongues.
You dares to?
Unless that's too freaky for Darla over here.
You'd be surprised just how freaky I can get.
I'm sorry. Right now, you gotta prove it to me. Come forward. That's right.
The other firemen watch open-mouthed. They grimace frustratedly.
Say bye to Bell, girls.
Hear the bell, gentlemen, let's go. Time to make a living somewhere. Something is burning.
The men slide down a brass pole into the fire engine bay. Larry's struggling to get into his uniform. Two fire engines leave the station with Chuck and others perched onto its side. The sisters are on the pavement. Chuck and his mate Carl glance at a mean-looking, bald-headed African-American fireman.
Hey, who's this guy? He's a transfer from Undercover 12. Name's Duncan. They say he put his captain through a wall.
For what?
Don't know. Don't want to know. And my advice, don't ask him.
Hey, you. My friend Carl here says you're an axe murderer. Is that true? See, you're wrong, Carl. This is Carl, by the way. He lives at 845 Rutland Road, apartment 4C, right?
Duncan glares at them and holds up his axe. Carl attempts a smile, then ducks down out of the way. The engines pull up to a burning building on a street corner. There are already fire crews tackling the blaze with fire hoses.
Four floors fully involved. Let's have some more ladders up here.
Going in the line.
Coming out the same way. Let's go.
Baby.
All right,
we'll get your
baby.
Calm down, calm down.
Please. Chuck, you got the keys, use
it. Got it,
Chuck tries to lever the locked front door open.
Things are pain in my ass.
Duncan just kicks it in.
It's open.
Show off.
Chuck and Larry enter the burning lobby.
Bernie! Bernie!
I'm up here!
Hang in there, little man!
Go on, up the stairs. Let me hear that voice!
I'm up here in my room!
All right, try and stay calm!
Come on, man.
They reach the top of the stairs. A lift, which is on fire, shoots down a nearby shaft.
Where you at, buddy? Let's hear that voice!
I'm over here!
They look up and flames engulf the ceiling in front of them, sending it crashing down.
Oh, all right, let's find a new way in.
They start to smash through the walls of the corridor with their axes. They kick down the last of the wall and emerge in front of a bed, which an extremely obese guy is lying on.
All right, all right.
Oh, thank God!
Holy shamo.
I'm sorry, I can't get out of bed.
There's a bed under there. Can you walk at all?
I haven't walked in 5 years.
All right, maybe if we strap a rocket ship on this guy, we'll get him out of here.
No, no, we can do this. People lift cars. It's adrenaline, you know?
Well, cars? This guy's more like a freaking minivan.
Hey, buddy, we're going to help you out here. Come on.
How's my mom?
You might. If she survived the birthing process, nothing's going to take her down.
Come on, just grab a side chip. Come on.
Side what do you mean, get it? What are we going to do?
Let me chop him up. We'll take him down in pieces.
Would you come
what?
On.
I'm kidding.
Hurry up.
Yeah,
right, let's go. Just grab the back of our coat. Turn around,
okay.
Joe. Grab the back.
Hey, did you start this fire by lighting one of your farts?
That's funny.
Hold on, Rob.
Hold on. Start running. Go.
With a big guy hanging onto the backs of their jackets, the two firemen run on the spot, trying to pull him up. With a look of surprise, the man starts to sit. He's now in a standing position, and the scampering firemen lead him out of the room and down the corridor.
I'm running, Mama! I'm running like the wind!
But he falls over and takes the fireman with him as he tumbles down the stairs.
Mama!
They crash through a banister at the bottom. Larry starts to get up with a grimace. Chuck's pinned to the floor by the obese guy, whose groin is squashed against Chuck's face.
Ouch! Chuck! Chuck, are you all right?
Chuck slowly raises a thumb. Chuck points his thumb downwards. Larry collapses in a fit of the giggles.
Oh, my God! Oh, sweet Lord! Broccoli! Oh, my God!
The big guy's on a forklift truck.
Please save me! Those two! Yeah, they're my heroes! I like you! I love you! Oh, get me a hero! I'm starving! Oh, get me out of here! Bring me to a deli!
So how the kids, though?
Oh, Tori, she's great, man. Playing soccer, scoring goals. It's awesome.
And Eric? You starting Little League up?
Yeah. I don't think that's happening.
Why not?
In Larry's apartment, a 10-year-old boy in 80s-style dancewear is holding up sheet music.
Hey, Eric, that's enough. Sit down, get ready for dinner.
Okay. Dad, you smell like smoke. Did you put out a fire?
I wasn't roasting marshmallows.
That's so cool.
You're so cool. Oh! Could you help me out, Teresa, and just grab that spaghetti sauce out of the microwave?
No, I had soap trained.
Would you please? I just need a hand. I don't really know what I'm doing here.
It's last train for 15 minutes.
All right, you can go.
He takes the jar of hot tomato sauce out of the microwave. He pours it over a bowl of spaghetti, tosses 3 beef burgers on top of the sauce, and carries the bowl to the table.
Bolognese.
Looks more like bowl shit.
Yeah, thanks for all your help, Teresa. Okay, guys, so, what is new?
I'm auditioning for the school musical, Pippin.
You like that, huh? The musical thing.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's my calling. That's what you said about hopscotch. You're just jealous because I can do the splits.
The young boy does the splits on the wooden floor. Larry looks nonplussed.
Isn't that supposed to hurt his testicles?
Yes, you don't talk like that. You get back in your chair and finish your hot dog salad.
Later, Tori's watching baseball on the TV. Larry's at the table. Eric enters wearing an apron and sits at a toy oven. Larry's looking at papers entitled Summary of Contributions and Eligibility.
Oh, boy.
He picks up the phone.
Brownies are ready. Would you stop using my Easy Bake Oven?
But I like to bake.
Guys, would you settle? Hey, Eric, why don't you watch the Met game, huh?
Municipal employee and planning department. Please tell me your name.
Larry Valentine.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite get that.
Larry Valentine.
You said Barry Schmalenpine. Is that right?
Schmalenpine?
You said Schmalenpine. Is that right?
I was enunciating.
You said I was enunciating. Is that right?
Woo!
You said woo! Is that right?
Dad, you have to try my brownies. They're fabulous!
Enough with the splits! Watch baseball!
Larry's sitting in front of a plain-looking woman in the middle of an office.
Then it took 45 minutes for this robot to stop calling me Derry, and then it starts asking me if I'm calling from Gooklyn. Look, all I'm trying to do is change my beneficiary from my wife to my kids.
Okay, you would have to file a request to do that.
Great, let's do it.
That's gonna take a while.
Look, lady, I don't have a while, all right? I'm a fireman. I could die tomorrow.
I guess if that happened, you would be burned.
Are you trying to make it funny?
Sort of. Any hooser, beneficiaries can only be changed for 3 events, births, deaths, and marriages. According to our records, we did contact you when your wife passed away. You had a year. You should have responded.
Oh, like a crazy person. I was busy mourning the death of my wife.
Off the record? I could suggest something that's a little more simple and perhaps more fulfilling to speed things up.
That would be great. What do you got?
Should you remarry, your new wife at that time could be named your primary beneficiary. So, there's somebody special in your life. I mean, who knows, maybe even someone you just met. And you are ready to make a commitment. Maybe now's the time.
With a shrug, the woman points to her bare ring finger.
Let's go crazy.
Nighttime. A warehouse is ablaze at the dockside. Fire engines speed towards the area. A nearby fireboat is sending streams of water towards the burning building. Other crews are already tackling the fire. Chuck and Larry in their firefighters' outfits approach the building.
Look how pretty she is. Going in alive.
Coming out the same way.
All right, baby.
Come on, bud.
The next morning, the fire's been put out. Chuck and Larry are beside their engine.
Levine, Valentine, can we finish this secondary search so I can get home to my wife and be denied sex?
Yeah. Absolutely.
The two men move around the charred interior of the warehouse.
So he's auditioning for a musical?
Yeah, Pippin.
Pippin, that ain't so bad. Is it about Scotty Pippin?
I don't know. He practices singing a lot.
Hey, Sinatra sang a lot.
That's true.
Better than dancing.
Yeah, it's just when I was his age, all I did was sports, you know?
Maybe it'll make skipping an Olympic event. There's still hope.
Come on, man. I don't have enough problems.
Baton swallowing. I bet he'd be great at that.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
I'm just busting your balls. Come on. Latitude 23 roof. Secondary search negative. Going upstairs. At least the whole pension thing's working out for you, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Why don't you come back down here? I'll stick this pole up your ass, turn you into a lollipop.
You talking to me or your son?
Get down here now. I'll give you an ass beating. I will destroy you.
Larry pushes at loose floorboards above his head.
Hey, Larry, good news. I found you something to eat.
A burnt rat.
Oh, cool, man. I will devour that.
You what? I'll give you $1,000. You eat this thing's head.
For $1,000, I'll start at the ass and work my way to the head.
Oh, this I gotta see, baby.
Come on. Nothing but net.
Here you go, buddy.
The floor gives way. He's lying on collapsed flooring up above.
Mayday, mayday. Ground 223. Firefighter down.
Holy shit. I dropped the rat, dude. We'll have to do that another time.
That's all right, buddy. Just relax. Stay calm.
Oh! This thing's gonna break, man. Get the hell out of here.
No, hey, man. We came in alive. We're going out the same way. Come on.
Chuck plummets downwards in a heap on top of Larry and is knocked out.
We got him over here!
We need smoke!
Chuck, come on, man.
A large section of wooden beams crash down on top of Larry. Then a blonde female doctor is standing over Chuck, who's lying in a hospital bed.
Mr. Levine? Mr. Levine? Do you know where you are?
Am I in a Motley Crue video? Because you're hot. Honey, how's my buddy doing?
Honey? We're expecting a full recovery. And Mr. Levine, please address me as doctor.
Dr. Honey. Yeah, okay, you got it.
Larry's in the bed next to him.
Chuck. What's going on, man?
Brace yourself, Larry. I'm gonna tell you, it's pretty rough. They removed your entire body. You're nothing but a head now.
What?
They said that there was enough fat in your head to rebuild your new body, so they got scientists in the other room working on it. God willing, you're gonna be all right.
Oh, you know, you're such a dick.
What's going on is you saved my life, man. I would have died if you didn't do what you did.
Oh, would you stop being so melodramatic?
No, I owe you. That's the code. Whatever you want, whenever you want it. Whatever, whenever.
Whatever?
Yes.
I'll take that rat. You want to find that rat for me? Because I'm hungry as hell.
Hi, Dad.
Eric.
Corey, hey, guys, come on in.
They called me in a class, and nobody would tell me for, like, a really long time what was wrong. Did you die?
No, Daddy's fine, buddy. I could go home right now if I wanted to. I'm only staying here because your Uncle Chucky, he's afraid to sleep alone.
It's true, Eric. If he don't sleep with me, then I gotta sleep with Dr. Honey. You never know with Dr. Honey what kind of mood she's gonna be in.
What are you, 6 years old?
Hey, where you going? Come here, lay down next to me. I'll spoon a Viking in with you. We'll have some fun. You little thief.
Sweetie, what's the matter? Come here, it's okay.
This is the same hospital. You know, Mom.
The little girl runs to her father, and the family hug as the off-duty firemen watch from the doorway.
I'm not gonna leave you. You hear me? I'm never gonna leave you.
Then Chuck and Larry are being pushed out of the hospital in wheelchairs.
Quitting the department.
Get out of here, man.
Ronaldo's cousin's got an Acura dealership down in Trenton.
You want to sell cars? Acuras?
I don't want to. Every time I run into a fire, where's my head gonna be? All my kids got left. If I die, I'm gonna leave him with nothing.
His father was a fireman. His father was a fireman. You are a fireman, man. One of the best Brooklyn's ever seen. That's it. You can't do nothing else.
I don't think I have any other choice.
We'll come up with something, all right? Come on, I promise you.
Oh, poor Chuck.
Hey, there, my girl.
How are you?
My leg hurts. My leg.
Oh, God, we got different lives.
I need some help out of here. All right, Chuck's doing all right. Let's get in there.
Hey, who wants to massage my ass muscles?
Me!
Nighttime. A clock shows it's 3:20 in the morning. Larry's sitting on his sofa eating a tub of chocolate fudge frosting. He stuffs his spoon in the icing and looks at documents on his coffee table. There's a newspaper with a photo of a banner which says, Gay Rights for Gay Americans. He picks up the paper with a look of shock. He starts to rush off, but comes back for the tub of frosting. Chuck opens the door to his apartment in a blue dressing gown.
Larry, what time is it?
4:00. I saved your life, and you said you owed me. You remember that?
Yeah, you saved my life, then you got me out of bed at 4 a.m. We're even. That's great.
Hey, look, I'm just going to throw something out here, and it's going to sound a little bit crazy.
You're getting a breast reduction.
No, shut up. No, look, I figured out how to solve this pension problem, and I don't have to quit the department.
Great. How?
What we're going to do is we're going to set things up so that you inherit my benefits if I die. That way, you'll be the one responsible for Eric and Tori.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. How do we do that?
Yeah. Domestic partnership.
Domestic partnership. You mean like faggots?
No, I mean, yeah, but no, not us, obviously. Or, it's just on paper, really.
Paper faggots.
Okay, look, the accepted vernacular is gay, but yeah.
I'm gonna get something to drink.
All right.
With the aid of a walking stick, Chuck re-enters his bachelor pad and heads to a drinks table where he opens a bottle of spirits and guzzles the drink straight from the bottle.
I'm gonna have to pass.
You can't!
Why don't you pay some chick to marry you if you need this set up?
Some chick? Like who?
Give me the phone. I know plenty of chicks who could use the cash. What do you want, a blonde, a Puerto Rican? I'll get you a heavy girl. She'll make you feel better about yourself.
Hey, it doesn't matter. I don't have any extra cash. Look, man, you're the only person I can trust.
Hey, you know who you could trust? Your maid, Teresa.
She steals!
She steals? Why don't you fire her?
I'm afraid. I think she's into voodoo. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Look, this is the only way I can keep doing what I do and make sure my kids are protected.
Larry, look at us. We're not gay. But if we were gay, don't you think I'd be with someone a little hotter looking than you? I'm Mr. February, for God's sake. It would be like the prom king fooling around with a tuba player.
Oh, great. I play tuba.
Larry, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, if that makes any sense. I still want to be friends.
All right. Do me a favor. Just picture this, please. All right? You're at my funeral, and you're looking for my kids, but they're not there. Because they're in some factory in Bangladesh making sneakers. For 6 cents an hour. And you go home to nail some chick you met at my gravesite. You look up. And right there in your window are my kids. They're just tapping on the glass. They got tears just streaming down their faces. You think of that. And now you give me your answer.
How are they tapping on my window if they're in Bangladesh?
Oh, my God. You're not following me here.
Yeah, I'm serious.
Chuck. Thirsty. Do you have anything to drink?
Yeah, there's Gatorade in the fridge. The girls are here. The girls, they want the Gatorade. Oh, they're thirsty. Larry, watch this.
Hey, girls, actually, it's down low, the Gatorade.
The women are in bras and skimpy knickers.
They can't be gay, Larry. I could be a lesbian for you, but that's about it.
I am so lonely in here. Hurry up, Chuck.
Dr. Honey, you know Dr. Honey. Yeah, I do.
How are you feeling, Mr. Valentine?
It's still stiff when I go to the right.
That's normal.
Hey, who untied you?
Dr. Honey points at the girls.
What? We have rules around here, girls! Specific orders, girls! Now I'm gonna go Charlie chopping on this!
Use the cane! Use it! Use it! Whap him! Whap him!
You're just an animal, man.
I am not an animal. I am a whore. You don't want to marry the town whore. Believe me, you're better than that.
What I'm talking about is no more involved than co-signing a loan or joining a gym.
How do we know no one's going to find out about this?
Because privacy laws are super strict nowadays. Look, all we got to do is just forward your mail to my house for a while. That's it.
Oh, I don't know.
I saved your life, bitch.
Chuck sighs and looks away.
Partners?
Partners.
Shake on it.
You should have let me die, asshole.
A Greek-columned portico marks the entrance to the municipal building, Brooklyn. Chuck and Larry are in disguise. Larry wears a baseball cap and shades. Chuck, a brown Mac, curly long-haired wig, fake moustache and skiing goggles. They stand in front of a counter, hastily signing a form.
Your partners now, fellas.
The two men shake hands and Larry gives a thumbs up to the clerk. Next morning, Larry spots a little pile of mail on his breakfast table.
Well, Teresa brought in the mail. That's a first. Me. Chuck. Me.
Porno DVDs.
Chuck.
And magazines.
Chuck. 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 You gotta be kidding me. They send these things blown up now?
Is that doll for me?
It's a wrapped-up blow-up doll.
No, sweetie. No, it's for me. It's a training doll. You know, for CPR, they're testing us again, you know, to make sure. Remember Daddy did the testing? You make sure the passageway is clear and you... to see if they're breathing. Sweetie, go to your room, please. Go to your room, okay? It's for me. She's fine. She's fine. We're dancing. Whoa.
Larry throws the doll on the floor in a huff.
Fire under control. All units, 10-8. Great to have you back, Larry.
Great to be back, Captain.
Captain!
Found out what started the fire, an old-fashioned doobie.
Hey, brother, that's my weed. Can I get that back?
You want this back? I can't give you it back, but you know what? I got something better for you.
Chuck sprays the face of the fast food worker with white powder from his fire extinguisher.
Whoa, man! Do that again.
The guy disappears in a white cloud. The young man does a little dance, then collapses on the floor. Then Larry's up a ladder at the front of his house, fixing the guttering. A man with neat hair and a grey jacket looks up at him.
Mr. Valentine?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Glenn Aldrich from the pension department. I'd like to talk to you about your recently filed domestic partnership.
Larry slides straight down the ladder and ends up in a heap at the bottom of it. He jumps to his feet.
Hey, are you okay?
No, I'm fine. That's how I always get down, because it's... just faster, you know, steps.
Is your partner home, Mr. Charles Levine?
No, he, how did you find out that we will...
Oh, it's standard procedure. You see, when a previously registered portfolio shifts over to a domestic partnership filing in the insurance log, there's an information sharing system that notifies us of the adjustment to make sure it's not a mistake. Why do you ask? Were you keeping your partnership secret?
Secret? Are you kidding me? Hell no. Now we're telling everybody it's a party!
Telling everybody what?
Hey, butt out, Ron.
The mailman looks bemused as Larry leads Glenn into the house.
I hope you don't think we have any reason to doubt your situation, Mr. Valentine, but the sad truth is some people have used homosexual lifestyles as a cover to reap illegal benefits.
Wow.
Who's that?
That's Paula. She's my late wife.
So you haven't always been gay?
No, I'm newly gay. When she died, I knew I'd never find another woman who'd make me as happy, and, that's when I boarded the dude train. Excuse me, one second.
Sure.
Hey, homo, you see the moon balloons on that chick? They're a jiggle away from falling out.
No, Chuck, don't tell me you lost your key again, sweetheart.
What key?
Baby, how about a free show? Why don't you shake him for me?
Yeah. Oh, you mean Ron, the mailman. Yeah, Ron, you look great, man. Love the moon balloons. Shake him. Shake him. Hey, Chuck, come on in.
Ron's confused again.
This is Glenn Aldrich from the penis department, the pension department, our pension department.
Hi.
Oh, hey. Yeah, he knows about our partnership, and he's just here checking up on us, making sure we're not running a scam to collect illegal benefits.
people do that? What is with the world? It just makes me so sad and gay to think of that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
I just want to go to my room right now and listen to Boy George records. Calm down.
So, you've moved your relationship to the next level. How's it been going?
Oh, great. We've just been having sex with each other all the time.
And loads of sex.
Gay, crazy sex.
Man on man. Loving every minute of it.
Balls and wieners all the way, right here.
Well, I won't take up any more of your...
Bring the funk.
Okay, thank you.
So, that's it? You don't have any other questions for us? Or?
No, that's not really how we do it. You see, if my report says I thought something was out of the ordinary, then the department assigns a special investigator, and he or she'll just drop in from time to time, unannounced, over the next 3 or 4 months. No big deal.
Let me just ask, was there anything that you saw that was out of the ordinary? Or?
Oh, I can't tell you that. All right, have a great day.
Oh, we will.
Nice seeing you.
Take care. Nice seeing you.
We love your pants, by the way. Very
you do.
Nice.
Very, are those wrinkle-free? I think they are. They look great. They just... Oh.
No one's going to find out about this, I thought.
No! Yes! He likes it, bro.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye now.
You made
Take
a promise
care.
To me. Okay. All right, we're going to have sex
okay,
now.
Okay, we are.
Oh, here
now.
We go.
They're on a sofa in the waiting area of a smart office.
Why are we even seeing this lawyer guy?
I just want to find out how much trouble we're in here. Maybe it's... You know, no big deal. This guy will be able to tell us.
Larry squashes up to Chuck.
Just give me your hand. Maybe we should just be snuggling a little bit.
You mean to look?
Yeah, just a little bit, like, you know.
Yeah, that's good. Does this work, though? Oh. Get away from me.
In slow motion, the door of the office opens, and in walks an attractive woman in her mid-20s. She has shoulder-length blonde hair, finely chiseled features, and a broad smile. She wears a short-sleeved white top and a black dress and carries a briefcase. Chuck is staring at her, open-mouthed. Larry looks dumbfounded, too. His stomach rumbles. Chuck frowns at his friend. Larry's standing and shaking the woman's hand.
How nice to meet you.
With a goofy grin, Chuck stands up and she turns to him.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, me to nice you.
Was that Japanese?
What are you talking about?
Oh, me to high school.
No, I didn't do that.
You did say it.
You did?
Okay,
just come on in.
Yeah, sure.
So, my assistant says that your domestic partnership is being challenged by the city.
Well, not exactly challenged yet, but they're definitely sniffing around.
Home visit?
Yeah.
You're being targeted.
Targeted?
It's like an audit. Who'd they send?
I was a Glenn somebody.
Probably the initial interviewer. But if you get a follow-up from a funny little guy named Clint Fitzer, then we've got real trouble. Yeah, the city's really been cracking down ever since the Bensley case.
What's that?
Well, in Colorado, a heterosexual government employee married his gay friend so the friend could be covered under Bensley's health insurance. The state found out about it, fired Bensley, and prosecuted them both for fraud.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, these people needed to be made an example of. I mean, gays and lesbians have not been fighting for these rights for 40 years to be made a mockery of. But you guys have nothing to worry about because you're a legitimate gay couple, right?
Oh, yeah, we're big time fruits.
She starts to take notes.
I used to wrestle in high school, and I loved it.
Okay.
Curiosity, kicking up again. What exactly did they get, the hetero bastards?
Well, Bensley got 5 years, and his gay friend got 3. And a co-worker of Bensley's got 18 months.
Why? What did he do?
Well, Bensley told him what was going on, and he never reported it to the authorities, so he was convicted of obstructing justice and conspiracy to commit fraud. Pretty rough, huh?
When I used to climb the rope in gym class, I wished it was a guy.
Alex nods, slightly confused.
There is a secret weapon that really might help get these guys off your back.
Oh, great. Well, we love secrets.
Yeah, we do them all the time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I won't tell anybody.
Nobody tells. That was a key he was throwing away. That's what that was.
Leave a trail. You know, the strongest evidence for genuinely demonstrating a domestic partnership is to take a quick drive on up to Canada and legitimize your relationship.
Legitimize?
Get married.
Marry Larry?
Nighttime. A yellow taxi is driving around the streets of the Canadian city of Niagara Falls. Chuck and Larry are in the back looking at neon signs in front of chapels along the street.
All right, where do two guys get married? Hey, what do we got here? Wedding balls. I do love Clay Aiken. Great rear endings.
Till Dick's doors part.
Where are we going to do this, we are? What's the matter? You getting cold nuts?
No, it's just Paul always wanted to go to Niagara Falls and never got the chance to take her, you know?
You were great to her. It's been 3 years already, man. Just, she would want you to be happy. She would want you to move on with your life, find somebody new, I'm telling you.
You know what? I did find somebody new. And I'm marrying him today.
Oh, yeah. What a lucky girl.
Queers. What was that?
I said, tears. Your love for each other brings tears to my eyes.
That's what I thought you said,
you better watch what you say, my friend.
Drive the car, buddy?
Doug Henning. What the hell you think you're doing?
Huh? Magic you want a Brooklyn
shoes?
Beating, yeah. Moron? Huh?
Uh-huh.
You want to get him nuts?
Smacked around?
And shut
Don't
your mouth.
Please.
The driver glances in his rearview mirror.
Faggots.
All right.
What the bitch? Hold it down. Hold it down. And I will get
The car swerves into the driveway of the Two Hearts Wedding Chapel. Chuck and Larry enter the kitschily decorated lobby. A little Japanese-looking man with a pudding bowl haircut, thick glasses and a checked jacket is hoovering the stairs.
Suki, come look at it! Mishima!
Suki! Stupid cow, I'm sorry. Hey, may I help you?
Yes, we're
gay?
Yeah, we're marrying each other.
Gay. Civil or religious?
Religious.
I'm Jewish. I don't want to piss my mother off.
I'm Catholic. I don't want to piss Mel Gibson off.
Religious is more expensive. We have to hire a clergyman.
No, you know what? We'll just do civil then, okay?
Will you at least wear a yarmulke?
Yeah, okay, sure.
It's important.
Yeah, I will. We want a traditional wedding, too. One with a lot of photographs for evidence.
The chaplain looks up.
Evidence for our future children, so they can see what a beautiful chapel this
yeah.
is.
That's nice.
I think Chub Rock needs a dress, all right?
That's okay. No.
Come on, no?
What size? 5XL?
No, that's fine, really. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go with a tux, like Liza Minnelli. I saw her wear one at the Oscars. And it's just
at least have garden belts underneath, please.
Okay.
You will need to have a witness. We're going to supply one for
$100. $100 hairs? It's a lot of doll hairs.
Come again?
Do dolls come with that many hairs?
Doll hairs. Doll hairs.
Doll hairs.
Yeah. Yeah, he likes that. Yeah.
Oh, I had never heard that one. Okay, sorry. Can I write that down?
Yeah, we'll get our own witness, by the way, so
yeah.
Don't worry about that.
Will you be needing a loom?
What?
A loom?
For romantic time together.
The chaplain presses his forefingers together.
Oh, whoa.
Oh,
no, we're good. We'll take two looms, by the way.
Yeah, we're old-fashioned.
Oh, that's very nice. Hey, I will give you a key in case you want to sneak.
That's okay, yeah.
But I'll give you a key.
Okay.
In the chapel.
Do you have the lings?
Yeah.
Now, the lings are a symbol of eternity. Because in the ling, there is no beginning. There is no end, because it's a circle.
That's kind of nice.
It's not like a triangle. Triangle has like a corner, and the end, this one, is a circle.
Okay, we get it.
Three corners.
Please exchange the links.
All right, take that.
Thanks.
It's a promise of your love forever, together.
Beautiful.
For all eternity, because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hey, I now pronounce you. Husband and husband. You may kiss the husband.
The two men stare blankly at the chaplain, who holds up a camera. Chuck and Larry turn half-heartedly to face each other. Chuck's chewing gum.
What do you mean?
Kiss the husband.
Yeah, we heard you.
Chuck fidgets. Larry looks mortified.
He's gonna take a picture. We just gotta do this.
Mm-hmm.
Larry puckers up. Ooh. Chuck slaps his face.
That's how we roll in our house, baby.
Hell yeah.
Oh!
The chaplain looks shocked, then grins, removing his glasses.
Could you do me?
Oh, you couldn't handle it, little man.
Hey!
Yeah.
I think your witness He's himself.
They look round at an elderly tramp who's got a wet patch on his trousers. In front of a wedding cake, the tramp makes a speech.
King, 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 king. The wires are all in place, and they have tapped all of our phones. The Chinese government is in them. And Elizabeth Taylor is Bigfoot. Turn off my brain.
Yeah, yeah.
A Japanese woman at a keyboard shakes her head.
There's a microphone in the cake.
The tramp plunges his hands into the cake.
They moved it.
He smelled like a dead water buffalo.
Then Larry and Chuck are doing a strange marching dance with high knees. They link arms.
Oh, yeah, they're Jewish!
Slumped in a seat, the tramp wakes with a start, and with arms folded, he does a Russian-style dance, kicking his legs out while squatting down. The chaplain takes lots of photos. The tramp's doing a star jump-style dance, then collapses onto the floor. The newlyweds bend down and look at him.
He broke his leg!
Outside Larry's house.
Hey, how come you Mayday ain't helping us out?
She's working on something else, all right?
Yeah, right. How you doing there, Phil Collins?
$800. $800, Bob Barker.
She's working hard with Bob Barker.
Hey, she doesn't like when you talk during her shows. Come on.
$750. Oh, my balls, that's too low.
Hey, Big Ragu. I smell your feet from here. I like it.
Oh. These white feet stink.
She sniffs her armpits.
Now that's a stink.
Larry takes four ready meals out of the oven.
See, I knew you were going to overcook this, man. I told you.
Hey, Salisbury steak, Emerald. It's supposed to be black.
It stinks like manure.
Yeah, it's supposed to.
I can't believe you're going to serve this to the kids. Shit.
Hey, language. Kids, shit is a bad word.
Seriously, though, I am not eating this crap. If I'm living here, I'm cooking.
How long is Uncle Chuck staying?
Just for a little bit, okay? Until his apartment is fixed.
What happened to your place?
Roaches. Yeah, big giant roaches. They ate my dog.
Bastards.
Language.
Roaches are so ewy.
Do you hear that? Roaches are ewy.
Ewy is another word not allowed said in this house, okay?
I think ewy is a nice word.
Shut up.
Ewy.
Funny.
Later, wearing a green face pack, Chuck swigs from a beer bottle and puts the TV on.
Reds never even came up in the conversation. About five straight seasons, losing regular seasons. Reds...
Chuck stands over a child's pink rocking chair. He sits in it and has another drink. The chair falls to bits. Larry at the table looks round. Chuck sits in an armchair nearby.
Real smooth.
Wait, what happened?
You broke Tori's chair!
No. It was like that when I got here. I'm not kidding. I think she did it.
What the hell is that on your face?
I'm exfoliating. This is good for my skin.
Yeah, that's a great idea, man. In case the gay inspector comes by.
Yeah, that's why I was doing it.
Daddy, help!
Tori!
Her bum's wedged down the toilet bowl.
Somebody left the seat up.
Real smooth, again.
Why, what happened? It was like that when I got here. She did it.
Hey, it's okay, sweetheart. You see, Uncle Chuck, he's not used to living in a house with a young lady.
True that.
Slow. Don't leave her intestines in there.
Larry wrenches the little girl out of the toilet bowl.
Whoa. Your father's just jealous, because he can't get his butt in that thing.
Yeah.
Got his butt stuck in a king-size jacuzzi one time. I seen that.
Stop.
Yeah.
Uncle Chuck, he left this in the kitchen.
Hey, don't you look at that.
Actually, no one, give me that. Maybe he should look at it.
Stop it, Chuck.
No. This is an experiment. Seriously. Eric, see how this makes you feel. Open it up.
Eric drops the porno mag and runs off.
All right, that didn't go well.
Later, Larry's getting into his bed. Chuck enters the room smoking a cigar.
Yo, you got any tequila in this house? I want to fall right asleep.
I don't.
What the hell is this? You got a dog I don't know about?
No, it's your bed. I worked hard on this.
That ain't a bed. That's a bed, the thing you're about to cave in.
No. Look, you're not sleeping here, okay? Nobody slept on that side since Paula.
But, sweetheart, it's our honeymoon. Of course I'm sleeping in the same bed as you.
No.
How about if I put Paula's pajamas on? Would that get me in a sack, would you?
Don't you dare touch her PJs.
You kidding me? You still keep her PJs? That's sick, Larry. Seriously.
All right.
You gotta call the shrink. I'm coming into bed, Larry. Well, look at this. You made me a little bowling ball ashtray. That's sweetie. I'll smoke that in the morning.
I don't feel comfortable with this, buddy, at all.
Would it help if I gave you the pose?
Hey, get your foot off that side of the bed. Have some respect, would you please?
Yeah, I'll be respectful. You won't even know I'm here. You won't know I'm here, okay? Once you turn the light off, you won't even see me. I'm not around, Larry. Yeah, yeah, see? Yeah. Roll over. Make yourself comfortable. That's right. You got Cinemax in here?
No, I do not.
What the hell am I supposed to do with this thing?
Keep it away from me.
Can you lend me your foot for a second? I'm kidding.
Chuck shuts his eyes with a contented smile.
Larry! You betrayed me, Larry. You made a promise no one would sleep on my side.
All right, hey.
I swear to you, I will beat you with the end table.
Larry!
Stop it, man!
If it was me, I would stop it. It was someone else. Scared me too, Larry.
Good morning, Daddy.
Larry lifts his head.
Oh, hey, kids.
Good morning, Uncle Chuck.
What's doing, guys?
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Larry screams at Teresa.
Why's Teresa in the bed?
She was cleaning it. Great job, Teresa. Spotless. Thank you. You can go now.
Teresa clambers on top of Chuck.
Oh. Hey, this is what got us in trouble in the first place. I mean.
Come on, kids, fix me breakfast. Come on.
You're giving a break for that.
Get Cinemax.
Well, I'm sleeping in the same bed.
Hey, you weren't sleeping the whole time. You threw in some moves.
I did not.
Yeah? Smell your thumb.
Larry frowns as he studies his thumb. He cautiously lifts it to his nose.
Smells like plastic!
A blow-up doll's on a chair in the corner. Later, Larry's picking up his paper in the front yard. He spots a moustached man inspecting the contents of his dustbin.
Hey, big guy. Hey, what the hell are you doing going through our garbage?
Oh, once it's out on the street, ready for pickup, it's public property. Lawrence Valentine, I presume?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, Clint Fitzer, from Financial Services.
He salutes.
You know, funny thing, you put these moving boxes out for recycling after you'd already been living together for so long. I found that interesting. And your garbage, Mr. Valentine. Well, from my experience, it's not very homosexual garbage.
Can I see some identification, please?
Well, that's just one zip away.
He unzips his hip pouch and holds up a fraud detection and enforcement ID card.
Mr. Valentine, the law takes a dim view of those who cheat the public coffers. A very dim view. Big guy.
His car number plate spells gotcha. The little grey car speeds off. In the house, Chuck's putting an enormous pair of boxer shorts onto a pillow.
What are you doing?
I'm putting a pillowcase on my pillow.
Okay, you know what? That's not a pillowcase. It's my underwear, you idiot. No! Would you stop? I just ran into Clint Fitzer out front, that big city investigator.
The one that hot-ass lawyer was talking about?
Well, yeah, we gotta make this place more gay.
More gay?
Yeah, he went through our trash. He said it's not gay enough.
Well, let's gay that shit up, then.
Oh, God.
Gay trash. See?
He holds up two lemons and a cucumber.
Huh? Yeah. What else?
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Perfect.
Hey!
Erica, are those the cleats I just bought you?
Uncle Chuck helped me turn them into tattoos.
Yeah, he didn't get Pippin, so we're gonna prime him for his next audition. For the Annie, get your gun thing. Go ahead, tap away. Sinatra tap dance, come on. Nice, big finish.
Yeah.
You wanna throw him in the garbage? I'm kidding, come on.
The supermarket.
Think like a gay guy. Gay.
Oh, here we go. Look at this shampoo for perm tear. That's pretty gay.
Put it in there.
Okay.
Bandages.
It's too rugged.
Really?
Q-tips. Get Q-tips.
Gay guys like cleaning ears for the licking and whatnot. Smart. What do you got?
Maxi pads.
Now we have vaginas? Put it back. Get some Streisand shit or something. Just walk away, man. Gay. Very gay. Uber gay. The gayest. And the mothership.
In the trolley are Village People CDs and the Wham poster. Alex bumps into Chuck.
Chuck!
Alex!
Hi!
Wow!
Oh, hey, did Larry tell you that I talked to him about Fitzer stopping by? That guy is an infection, but don't you worry about it, because I'm going to handle it.
Oh, it's all good.
It's all gay. All the way.
Are you doing anything on Saturday night?
No, why?
Well, I'm involved with this group, and it's our big fundraiser thing. And look, I know it's a little bit last minute,
No. Oh, hey, let's do this. Let's party. Wow.
Awesome. Please. Okay, it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm sure.
Here's the info.
Hell yeah.
And don't forget to bring your husband.
Chuck looks blank.
My husband, yes, of course. Don't go anywhere without him. He's like an infection, too. Are you going to be bringing your significant other person thing?
Oh, I'm not gay, if that's what you mean. And I just broke up with my boyfriend, so.
Ooh. I mean, ooh.
It's fine. So, am I going to see you there?
I'll be there.
Okay.
Oh, you going to go?
Yeah. See ya.
Yeah.
He watches her disappear down another aisle.
Hell yeah.
Sorry, did you say something?
No, they got a KY jelly, 2 for $1.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Chuck looks at the KY jelly and shrugs.
Yeah, this does work.
Ron the postman is at Larry's front door.
Got some mail for you, Mr. Valentine.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Ron.
But Ron lingers, looking awkward.
Something I can do for you?
I couldn't help overhearing you and Mr. Levine talking about your arrangement the other day.
Oh, yeah, we're a couple, so...
Right. I also caught a bit of what you said pertaining to me.
Well, I'm sorry?
I heard you mention to the gentleman that you thought I was a hottie.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I'm sorry if that came off a little weird.
No. It's nothing to worry about, sir. I don't bite.
Oh, okay.
Listen, just so you know, if you ever home alone in the afternoons, I make drop-offs. And I always deliver.
You know what is? I'm pretty loyal to Chuck.
Right, I understand that. I'm just saying, if you ever want to explore your other feelings, there's no extra postage. And it's always first class.
All right. Anything else you feel you need to say there?
I handle with care.
Okay, Ron. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'd be happy to come in through the back door.
I'm sure you would.
Used to holding large packages.
A column-fronted building with pink banners which says AIDS Coalition. Chuck's dressed as Dracula. Larry is a huge red apple.
This actually ain't gonna be bad, man. Just some regular gay folks having a party.
I'm dirty. I'm dirty.
Oh my God, it's Homopalooza.
They stand at the entrance to a huge hall crowded with men in a variety of outrageous costumes.
You know what? Find Alex, say hello, and let's get the hell out of here. I'm gonna take a leak.
You're gonna go to the men's room? Here?
What's wrong with that?
I peed 3 times before I got here.
You're fine.
Apple martini?
Chuck's at the bar. He gets a beer and scans the crowd in front of him. He sees what appears to be the back of a slim blonde woman in a pink bunny girl outfit bending over a table, wiggling her bum to the music.
Oh yeah, there's my lawyer.
Chuck moves towards the bunny girl.
Look at that. Perfection.
He pulls his cape over his mouth.
I want to suck your blood.
The bunny guy turns.
Suck my what?
Nothing.
No, it's cool. You want to suck something.
I was talking to somebody else.
Hey, don't go, bitch. Don't be a teen. You whore!
The gents' toilets. Larry, the walking apple, peers cautiously into the urinal area.
Hello?
He crouches and looks under the doors of the cubicles.
Anybody here?
A bowl on a side table is filled with wrapped condoms.
All right, let's do this.
A flap opens in the front of the apple costume and Larry hobbles towards the urinal. Chuck, the vampire, is moving through the crowded dance floor, above which two men are sitting smiling up at Alex, who's dancing in front of them in a figure-hugging, shiny black Catwoman costume.
Chuck! Hey! Oh, I'm so glad you made it!
Alex, that's you, right?
Yeah, Catwoman.
Oh.
Wow, so I had no idea Dracula could look so fierce.
I like Betty Butterfly the most.
There's Phoebe, and Bobby, and Sarah.
That's my brother, Kevin.
Your brother? you're related to him?
Yes.
He's got to come out of the closet already. I feel bad. I must eat him up inside knowing he's got so many secrets.
Larry tugs his tights through a flap in the apple costume. Alex, Chuck, and Kevin are at a table.
My underwear is just riding up my core. Seriously, got some applesauce going on down there.
I can't wait to launder that load.
What's up, Apple Dublin? What's crack a lagging?
What's crack a what? I'm sorry. Who are you? Do I know you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Kevin, Alex's brother.
Oh, hey, man. Larry, Chuck's better half.
Oh, wow. Better two-thirds, actually.
So, I got a question. I know you know it's coming. I'm gonna do it. Who's pitching and who's catching?
You mean who's the chicken and who's the guy and that kind of thing?
Please don't feel obligated to answer that. It's none of our business.
I know it's not, but it's fun to know.
Not a problem. Well, let's see. This is gonna be a cool experiment. Who do you think is the chick out of us two?
I know. One, two, three.
Chuck.
So, Chuck.
What do you mean, Chuck?
Oh!
why would you think I'm the chick?
Well, he's an apple. Very masculine, very solid fruit. And you're a Count Succula with a straw in your beard.
I'm drinking through a straw because I don't want to smear my lipstick.
Yeah, that was worse. All right, good.
I also think it's because you have very sweet, sensitive eyes, and that's very rare to find in a guy.
Well, you have very sweet and sensitive eyes, too.
I do.
Us chicks should stick together, huh?
Take it easy, buddy.
Girls rule and boys drool.
Yeah.
Oh, my God! You okay? Breathe! This is my jam! This is my jam! You know that! This is my drink, okay?
Okay.
This is my jam!
So?
Yo.
Are you gonna show me your moves?
On the dance floor.
Oh my God, you got the flags out.
I can't dance with shit, can you?
Hell no.
Two guys dressed like American football players take to the floor.
Look at these guys, man, they're freaking Travolta.
They're dancing a choreographed routine.
Hey guys know how to dance good, it's like the law or some shit.
One of the guys slides through the other one's legs.
Get in the sun right now!
Any second, man, I can't wait!
Hey, the butterfly's coming out of his cocoon again.
Kevin does a wiggly dance in the middle of the floor.
That's my brother!
This is his jam! It is his jam!
Kevin circles his crotch, then puts his hand to his mouth.
Kevin's having
I didn't
fun.
Need to see that.
I'm flying!
I'm not good at this.
It's showtime, boys!
Alex pushes them into the middle.
Oh, Larry! Oh, it's part of it. All right, Larry, get up. That's it.
We're busted, dude. We're busted.
Let's go junior high on their ass.
Junior high.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Okay.
Larry puts his head on Chuck's shoulder. Chuck embraces his apple-y friend, and the two start slow dancing in the middle of the ring of onlookers who all watch with sympathetic expressions.
Is it working? I don't know. I'm afraid to look up.
I think it is.
The other revelers move into the space and pair off until the dance floor is crowded with slow dancing couples. Alex watches her new clients with a broad smile. Chuck waves at her.
God, we really pulled this one out of our asses.
Bad choice of words there, Larry. Bad choice of words.
Chuck, Larry, and the others step out of the hall.
Hey, Chuck, Larry. We got a basketball game every Tuesday night at 6. If you guys want to play, Butterfly knows how to get hold of us.
Okay, right on. Thank you. We'll give you a buzz. Nice to meet you guys.
Sinners and fornicators, we are not here in anger. We are here to save you from eternal damnation.
Hey, buddy, come on already. This is a private event. Now give it a rest.
Aren't you worried about where you'll spend eternity?
What these guys do on a Saturday night?
They just want everyone to be as miserable as they are.
Chuck glances at a tearful partygoer who's being comforted.
It's okay, baby.
He approaches the protesters.
You heard the man at the private party, so take a walk.
This is a public sidewalk. We have every right to be here.
And we have every right to be queer.
Yeah.
A skinny old guy speaks into the loud hailer.
Homosexuality is an abomination.
Yeah.
Hey, newsflash, man. That jacket's an abomination.
Hey, what makes you think that you have the right to dictate how other people live their lives?
I'm a minister. I'm allowed to preach in any public forum.
Well, I'm a fireman. I say you block an emergency access, and let's call it a night, guys.
Whoa. You're a fireman.
You are a disgrace.
You're a flamer.
is what you are.
There's no reasoning with these people. Just let it go.
Yeah. Let it go.
Come on. Let it go.
Come on.
See you later!
Faggots.
I'm sorry? What did you call me?
Oh, I called you a faggot.
Faggot?
Chuck punches him in the face and floors him.
For your information, the accepted vernacular is gay.
A photographer's taking shots.
Almost one! Crazy people, zero!
A newspaper headline, gay basher bashed at gay bash, in the fire chief's office.
Gentlemen, I have a very simple philosophy. What you shove up your ass is your own business.
Captain.
Shut up. Now, it's not my style to get involved in the personal lives of my firemen. And if sometimes I've given you the impression that I'm your friend, I apologize. However, I seriously doubt that you two are banging each other. You and Paula, the most beautiful couple I ever laid eyes on. And you. If my pencil sharpener had a skirt, I'd have to hide it. Look, do you have any idea the stress an administrative position entails? I've already got a prostate the size of a cantaloupe. And now, thanks to you two bozos, I've got the pension department pissing up my chimney. Not to mention every flaming fruit bat south of Poughkeepsie that wants to come down here to our house and slide up and down our pole.
We're telling the truth.
Stay on the youth tray. I don't want to hear about it. And if this marriage is something you've cooked up in response to this pension problem, you are not taking me down with you. I will report you. You will go to jail, or you won't have to pretend to be gay because your asses will be busier than a test bench in a plunger factory.
They stare at him blankly. Alex is in her office.
I just wanted to thank you again for what you did at the fundraiser.
Oh, yeah, that was no big deal.
You sound a little down. Where's Larry?
He's at school with the kids doing the career day thing.
So does that mean that you can have a girl's day with me?
A girl's day?
Yeah, I need some new shoes, new underwear.
Girl's day.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, ooh. Girl's day. Sure.
I'll pick you up.
Alex and Chuck are in a boutique-style shop. Alex holds up a pair of skimpy white knickers and does a pose. Chuck indicates she should turn round. She holds them up against her bottom. Chuck nods his head effeminately. Alex tries on a brown hat with a floppy brim. Chuck tries it on and strikes comic poses. Alex mouths perfect and shakes her head. They're in another boutique shop. A male shopkeeper holds a purple jacket with furry collar and cuffs up to Alex. Chuck frowns and shakes his head. Alex looks a little disappointed. The assistant returns with a green hooded top, which he holds against the young lawyer. Chuck looks affronted. The assistant holds up an olive-coloured fitted jacket. Chuck points at it and gestures at the guy to get rid of it. The shopkeeper persists with the jacket. Chuck nods in a slightly disgruntled fashion, and Alex takes the jacket away. The assistant points at himself, then Chuck, and shrugs. Chuck smiles sweetly, then points at his wedding ring. The assistant looks to the heavens and moves away. Then, in a classroom, six adults in a variety of work clothes are in front of the children.
So, by trading in pre-refunded municipal bonds, we can offer our clients triple tax-exempt returns.
Any questions?
The kids all look extremely bored.
There never are.
Thank you, Mr. Auerbach, for that very nice trip down Wall Street. Our next parent is Larry Valentine, Tori's father.
Hi, everybody. I am a firefighter, and I'm proud to be one because it's my job to protect the community and make sure it's a safe environment for all. Whoa, we got some questions already.
He looks round at the banker smugly.
Yeah.
I don't like girls either. Does that mean I'm gay too?
No.
You are married to a woman, right?
Yes.
Does that mean you're half lesbian?
Kids, Mr. Valentine is here to talk about his career today, okay?
Mr. Valentine, you said you're a fireman.
Yes, that is correct.
Do you have two jobs? Because my dad said that you're also a butt pirate.
Larry looks flummoxed. A guy in a blue shirt and brown tie approaches him on the staircase.
Larry!
Steve!
Rough crowd, huh?
Kids, yeah. So listen, we're all set for the Boy Scout overnight this month.
Oh, great, we're all set.
No, we're all set. Like, we don't need any more fathers.
All right, well, then, I guess I'll see you at Little League then, all right?
Oh, you know what? We're good.
We are good.
No, we're not good. We don't need you for Little League. we're good.
Okay, Steve, what's going on? I signed up to coach 3 months ago.
Larry, I don't want to get into this with you here.
But you know what, Steve? You're really starting to piss me off. I'm trying to get Eric interested in baseball.
That kid interested in baseball? You got a better chance getting Colonel Sanders interested in a hamburger, buddy.
Larry headbutts Steve in the stomach and pushes him backwards into a school display. The kids gather round. Larry sits on Steve in a wrestling-type move. A taller boy confronts Eric.
That's gay. So are you.
Eric does the splits and punches the bully in the crotch. Eric stands and does a little tap dance. Nighttime, Chuck and Alex are running down a street in the rain. They enter a smart flat.
Hey, you were soaked. You wanna borrow a sweatshirt or something?
No. I'm great. Thank you.
Okay, but I am freezing, so.
She crosses to a wardrobe rail and takes off her blouse.
What are you doing there?
Oh, it's wet.
She takes off her trousers. She's standing with her back to him in striped knickers and bra. Chuck looks shocked.
Actually, you know what? I'll take that sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah.
She flings an orange sweatshirt at him.
Thanks.
She turns back to the wardrobe rail. Chuck ties the sweatshirt around his waist, trying to cover his crotch. He twists it round so it looks like an orange apron.
So, it's a great body you got there. I mean, it could be the best body I've ever seen in my life.
Shut up.
Besides Larry's. But yours, your tush looks like it's made of muscle, and Larry's is made of pudding and quarter pounders and God knows what.
Well, these are real, by the way. I mean, nobody thinks they are. Everyone thinks they're fake, but they are real.
Alex, you don't gotta lie to me with two girls hanging out. Come on.
You kidding me? There's no silicone here, I swear.
Oh, no big deal if they are or not. I don't care.
I've got nothing to hide. Feel them.
Feel them?
Feel them.
I'd rather feel a flabby man peck, to be honest with you, but in the name of science, if you need me to hold your bodacious Bahama mamas or whatever the guys call nowadays, I'll do it.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh.
He feels them.
Well.
Yeah, they're real.
Told ya.
And creamy. And fun. For someone who would like something like this. But to me, it's like, ew. I just got a little nauseous there touching them. That's funny.
Oh, you want a bite?
No. Feeling them's enough. I'll do that again.
No. I meant food. Are you hungry?
Oh! I'm sorry. Yeah, no, just... Yeah, it's funny.
Next day, four of the firemen are playing basketball in the station yard. In a grey t-shirt and black shorts, Chuck's limbering up in the doorway to the court. The firemen start to leave.
Wait, me and Nutsy against you three guys.
Yeah.
You don't want to play?
Hey, Chucky, I gotta be honest with you. You play real physical defense, and none of us want you copping a feel or rubbing up against the old Bushkadoosh here.
Just because you're gay doesn't mean you're horny for every guy you meet.
Oh, really? Because every time you covered me in the past, I feel like you were grab-assing on me.
Yeah, let the WNBA play. Come on.
Fine, go. Unbelievable.
Chuck picks up a basketball, and standing at the free throw line, he shoots and scores. Duncan, in a fedora hat and black sleeveless vest, moves into the area with a somber expression.
Oh, God. Well, you want to mess with me, too? Huh? You want to mess with the queer? Because this queer don't take shit from nobody. Let's go, then. You ready? I'm a fireman, man! I ain't afraid of nothing!
Put your fist down.
Duncan has his arms outstretched at his sides. Chuck cautiously lowers his fists. Duncan steps slowly towards him, and closing his eyes, he embraces him with a deep sigh. Chuck half-heartedly hugs him back.
Me too.
You too? You too what?
I'm gay.
Chuck looks shocked.
I can't believe I finally said it.
Oh, God, it feels so good. It's like a wave is crashing over me. Ooh, ow. It's so liberating.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the first time you said it?
First time I said, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was with Larry.
Your lover.
Yeah.
By the way, is absolutely gorgeous.
Thanks. He's mine, though, so.
No, that's your man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My whole life, I've been living a lie. But you and Larry have given me the strength to be true to myself. To thine own self be true. There's nothing worse than pretending to be something that you're not.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm glad. I'm glad we helped you out, and anything else we can do, you don't hesitate to ask.
Would you help me tell my parents?
I guess.
Yes!
Oh, whoa.
Oh, yes, girl!
Hey, did you guys catch that Met game last night? They got a shot of my cousin throwing a beer at the end.
I missed it. Took my sister to the electrolysis place for a second opinion. They said there's nothing they could do.
Chuck and Larry enter the shower room with towels around their waists. The naked firemen look round disapprovingly. One of them covers his privates with a face flannel and moves behind a wall. Larry and Chuck glance at each other and move towards the showers. They remove their towels. One of the firemen's soap slips from his grasp. Lands on the floor near to Chuck and Larry. The butter-fingered firefighter takes a couple of steps towards the pair, then stops.
Pick that up, would you?
I ain't picking that up.
Well, my soap, Ronaldo. Right here.
Hey, Tony, give me your soap.
No, I don't share soap. Too many Germans.
Come on, give me the damn bar of soap. Give it out.
The two men struggle, and another bar of soap flies into the air and lands next to the original one. The fireman looks shocked.
Who's gonna do it?
The men all freeze. Duncan enters the room without a towel. With a moody frown, he strides slowly into the shower area. He stands over the soaps with his hands on his hips. He bends over to retrieve the soaps. He has badass tattooed across his buttocks. He looks round at the firemen, who smile nervously.
Hey, how's it going?
He winks at Chuck.
Hey, Duncan.
Chuck leans towards Larry.
Tell you about that later.
Duncan turns on a shower in the middle of the room and starts singing.
Damn every woman, it's all in me. Anything you want now, baby, I'll do it naturally.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Let me hear you say it.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, a little louder.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa. Everybody say now.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I can't hear you say whoa.
The other firemen look confused and nervous. In her flat, Alex is sitting at a coffee table, making friendship bracelets with Chuck.
All right, yours is done.
Yours too.
Take a look.
Okay.
Girls rule with a Z.
This is so awesome. I hope you like yours.
Let's see here. Friends forever. Anything with forever and you and it sounds pretty good to me. This is great. Slide her on.
You know what's still bugging me, though? That those Guidos wouldn't let you play basketball with them. We could get a court order and have them suspended in 2 seconds.
Court order? No. These guys are good guys. They're just having problems adjusting. Calm down. Relax. Finish your wine. Come on.
Okay.
She polishes off her glass of red wine and nods her head.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. But you know what would really help me to relax?
She flings herself onto her bed.
It's a foot rub. Please, you'll be my bestest friend.
Oh, they're good. Yeah, I can handle it. Give me these.
You know, I love that you're a chubby chaser, by the way.
A chubby wawa?
Well, you know Larry's heavy set. I mean, is that the type of guy you've always been attracted to?
No, he's my first baddie.
Yeah, you guys really seem like you have a lot of sexual chemistry.
I float his boat and he sinks mine.
Yeah, I've never had that, really had that with anybody before. I don't even know if I know what I'm doing.
What?
I'm serious. Come on. Give me some moves. How do you turn Larry on?
How do I turn Larry on? I mean, to get him in the bed, of course, I just lay a pizza out. And he comes running.
Really? Seriously?
Well, he likes it when I rub his big, hairy earlobe. That gets him crazy.
Really?
Yeah, it's a spot of his.
Try it on me.
Try it on you? Yeah. You know, I just grab it. And usually when I do this to Larry, he's like, boing, you know?
I love it.
You do?
Yeah, I like that.
Sure. Yeah. Work both hands. I like that. And then you can go to some hair pulling, right about like that.
Like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let him know you're there. You know what I mean? And that the slap out of nowhere is good.
That is good.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Not ultimate fighting kind of smacking. Just light and sexual and fun.
How did you get to be so good at all this?
I don't know. I just, a lot of practice, I guess. I used to be kind of a jerk. But then you meet somebody special. Makes you not want to be a jerk anymore. Actually, it makes you want to give everything you got to that one person.
She appears moved and shakes her head.
Yeah, you know, it's true when women say that all of the good men are either gay or married. And of course, I'm hanging out with one who's both.
Oh, yeah. Just for the record, though, if I wasn't so into chubby hubbies or chunky monkeys, or what did you say again?
Chubby chaser.
Oh, yeah. I would be just so all over you.
Oh, come on, no way.
Are you kidding me? Look at you. You're gorgeous, and you're smart, you're passionate, funny.
I'm just so happy I met you.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Friends forever.
Still emotional, Alex gives Chuck a friendly kiss. Chuck stares at her and nods his head.
Oh, yeah.
Their faces come together again, and this time the kiss is more passionate and searching.
Oh, my God, what are we doing?
Whoa, no. Hey, Alex, I just never felt this way about a woman before.
Because you're gay, and you're married, and you're my client. So wrong.
No, it's not about right or wrong, or gay or straight, or hard or soft. It's...
She grabs him and kisses him again.
Wow. No, I can't see you. I can't see you, except as a client.
Alex, don't say that, please.
I believe in marriage. I believe in what it represents. I betrayed you. I betrayed Larry. Oh, my God. Poor Larry.
Larry? He's a great guy, but I gotta be honest with you. Our marriage is... All he does is watch his baseball games, and like I don't even exist anymore!
You have to go. I'm sorry.
He hits me, though.
I'm so sorry. Please go.
He leaves. Then Steve Fitzer is in the street outside Larry's house playing basketball with Eric and Tori.
Hey! What the hell's going on out here?
Nothing. I'm just draining a few buckets with Eric and Tori. Over here making small talk, you know. You'd think on such a nice day, your husband would want to spend time with his family. Where is he anyway? Is he out straight bashing again?
No, he's at his mother's. He's taking her to the movies.
No, Daddy. He's with that smoking hot Lori lady he always talks about when you're not around.
He is?
Ah. Hey. I just felt a breeze, Mr. Valentine. And that breeze is blowing straight towards justice.
Fitzer lobs the ball up in the air, sending it crashing down on a barbecue. A fire department van's outside an electrical superstore. A policeman with a mustache approaches Larry at the back of the vehicle.
Hey, guys, we got a perpetrator lodged in the air duct. Apparently tried to break in last night, got stuck. You're the guys from the newspaper, right?
Yeah, that's us.
All right, well, then you're going to love this. A guy got stuck, upside down, so his ass is still hanging out for you.
It's pretty funny. Did your mustache come up with that?
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't speak Guyanese.
On the flat roof, a man's legs are poking out of the top of an air vent.
Hey, anybody! You gotta get me out of here! I just peed,
on my face.
All right, relax, buddy. I'm here to help. Unlike some people around here who only help themselves.
Who are you talking about?
You.
Why? What happened?
Fitzer came by today and Tori told him about your obsession with her hot-ass lawyer.
Obsession? What? What? What is she talking about?
Don't even give me that, mister. I'm taking my mom to a movie. You know what? Maybe if you were around today, Fitzer would actually think that, I don't know, you like me?
Hey, man, I gotta lie to you. Thanks to you, I gotta lie to everybody. Especially Alex. I can't be honest with her. I can't get close to her. I can't even have freaking fun with her.
Why can't you have fun with me? We always used to have fun. I just...
Because you've changed. Ever since you forced me to marry you, you're so goddamn controlling. You don't act like my freaking husband. You act like my boss.
Don't do this. Don't do that. Hey, what time are you coming home tonight?
You're smothering me, man. I can't freaking breathe.
What you guys need is a bubble bath.
Shut up! Idiot, the only reason you're feeling that way is because you're afraid of feeling trapped. That's what happens when you get married.
Fat ass, we're not really married. I'm just in some gay, crazy nightmare.
That you can't commit to, because you can't commit to anything. I swear to God, I feel like I'm the only one who's trying to make this thing work.
Work! That's right, it's become work. This relationship is work. Face it, we are not supposed to be together. I found somebody I really want to be with. Instead of being jealous of that, why don't you do the same?
Because I still love my wife.
Well, move on already. Your house is like a freaking shrine to Paula. One of these days, you gotta get a real wife. One that your kids don't gotta lie about every 2 seconds.
Nah, you can't keep it in your pants for 5 minutes, and that's why we're so screwed up now.
Oh, whoa, back up, buddy. You know why we're in this jam. Because you can't open your freaking mail. Everything with Paula's name on it gets tossed in a desk and filed under too painful to deal with.
Guys, could you at least call another fire department?
What is your rush, idiot? You're going straight to jail anyway. You know what? I cannot deal with sleeping next to your stupid ugly face tonight, so don't bother coming in the bedroom.
Oh, wouldn't dream of it, honey.
You are a lousy best friend and a shitty husband.
Hey! For the record, every time I laughed at one of your jokes, I was faking it. You're a monster!
Nighttime, Chuck and Larry are heading down the street in the van looking glum. A woman calls out,
"Oh my God, it's Mr. February! I love you! I love you! I love you! I love you!"
Chuck looks at his Friends Forever bracelet.
Wow, it's a gay bracelet. I hope Fitzer sees that. Shut up.
The van pulls up outside the fire station. Inside his office, the fire chief is standing behind his desk. Chuck and Larry enter the room.
You need to see us? Shut the door.
He takes a sip of coffee.
You know, for the first time this month, I pissed without spraying in all three urinals at once. So I was in a relatively good mood. Until I received this.
He hands Chuck a piece of paper.
Seems the guys in the company took a meeting. They all signed that petition requesting that I transfer you both out of here.
Why are you going to listen to these idiots?
I'm not going to do it. But I have to do something to keep the peace. Now, personally, I think it's just a matter of time before your little act gets busted. Until then, you're on separate shifts.
What? Separate shifts?
Hey, we've been together forever.
So were my balls, and now I only have one of them.
Wow.
Valentine, go to work. Levine, go home.
Larry and Chuck exchange concerned looks. Then Larry heads downstairs into the fire crew common room.
Hello, baby.
Hey, fellas. Hey. Heard you guys have been circulating a petition. You mind if I take a look at it? Oh, what do you know? I got it right here. It's impressive. A lot of names. Let's go down a list, see who we got here. Nootsie. Hey, you remember that time Chuck and I ran back in that textile plant and dragged your limp body out? Even though Chuck's leg was broken like in three different places? Man, that was pretty freaking gay for Chuck, huh? Wow. Ronaldo. Man, I remember your first day on the job. Remember you were so scared you actually crapped yourself? And Chuck and I, we snuck you back in here, we cleaned you up so nobody'd find out. You begged us not to tell anyone, and did we? Let's ask. You guys hear that story before right now? Show of hands?
No, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, it is hilarious. Tony! Nice signature. Hey, is that the same one you used to endorse the check that Chuck gave you when you gambled away your mortgage payment on college football? I guess his money wasn't too gay to bail you out or keep your wife from leaving you again.
Again?
I guess Chuck's not enough of a man to work next to big, strong heroes like you guys. Oh, look at that. Fire. Well, I hope it's not a bad one, because the faggot who's been saving your sorry asses is now, thanks to you, working on another shift. Let's go.
Chuck's reading a story to Larry's kids.
That's when Sadie said, "Love will always help you find your way home."
Sleeping. Sleeping. That was easy.
He's sitting in a seat shaped like a green dinosaur. The chair collapses under him. Morning. Larry enters the house. He puts his coat, wallet and keys onto the counter in the kitchen. He looks in the children's room. His kids are asleep. Chuck's asleep on the floor in between the two beds, still amongst the wreckage of the dinosaur chair. Larry smiles slightly and looks at his friend. With a thoughtful smirk, he moves to a walk-in wardrobe, where he carefully takes a blue dress off a hanger.
Oh, you know I love you. I kinda...
He lowers the dress gently into a cardboard box. Then he enters his bedroom. He's clutching some of his wife's outfits tightly to himself. His face is pressed against them. Chuck's standing in the doorway of the room.
Hey. I'm sorry.
Me too.
That stuff I said.
I know.
Can I sleep in a bed tonight?
I'd like that.
They approach each other
yeah.
and hug. Ron, the mailman, stands watching at the open front door with tears in his eyes.
Handle with care.
Larry! Don't let him sleep on top of me again, Larry!
Don't do the voice. I will kill you. I swear.
Okay. Hey! Hey! You ready for your big day, little man?
Big day.
My audition, Dad. Me and Uncle Chuck have been practicing for weeks.
He wanted to work with you, but I was around, so... Why don't you do one last rehearsal, let your father play the Annie role?
Fabulous. I'll get my music.
Did you hear that? It's fabulous. Hey, come on, come on.
Okay.
May me my mo, moo me my mo, may. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Yes, he can. Hit it. There's my star. Turn it around and a flip, 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 flip it a bit and a skip. Go down.
He starts to tap really fast. Larry looks impressed.
And a Russian split. Oh, you nailed it.
My kid is pretty awesome.
Hey, there's only one guy I know who can dance better than that.
Who?
The homeless guy from my wedding.
That dude is pretty good.
Chuck picks up the phone.
Balls and wieners.
Is it true?
Alex?
In a diner, Alex shows them a newspaper.
Look at this. 16 depositions from women who claim to have slept with you over the last year and a half.
Just 16. Thank God the 500 other ones couldn't read or write.
Wait a minute. You knew about him and all these women?
Alex, you know what it is? We've been through this before. Chuck's... He's got a bit of a problem. He messes around with women because... He's ashamed of being gay.
Now, is it all just about you, or... Do you really just don't consider anybody else's feelings?
Oh, I don't. I'm just a big gay jerk.
He pulls Larry's hair.
Ow! What are you doing?
You know you like that.
Guys, the shit is about to hit the fan, okay? And if I'm gonna defend you, I have to know the truth. You have to look me in the eyes and tell me that you are gay and that this marriage is legitimate.
Alex, we're gay, okay? And we are married.
She looks at Chuck with a slight sigh.
It's real. Can you help us out?
Okay.
He nods slightly.
Okay. This investigation is gonna get rough. They are going to quiz you about every detail of your lives, every aspect of your relationship. But since you guys are telling the truth, then I'm sure you'll be fine.
Just for the record, I thought this was a man when I was with her. Does that help us out at all?
A gay pride marched through a New York main street. Chuck's wearing a Mrs. Pitt t-shirt, Larry a Mrs. Timberlake t-shirt.
Go over it again. Your birthday?
April 26th. Taurus.
Got it.
Yours?
September 9th, Virgo.
What about your favorite brand of underwear?
That would be Mr. Calvin Klein. I can tell you my least favorite. Whoa.
An obese man in just a thong is waving a flag nearby. Chuck and Larry, now in suits and ties, make their way on foot towards an imposing municipal building. The police have cordoned off a passageway through the crowd outside it. On one side, the anti-gay protesters, and on the other, the pro-gay activists. The two defendants look a little anxious as they make their way through. Alex, in a black suit and glasses, follows her clients in. She's holding hands with Larry's smartly dressed kids. And Larry reach the foot of the steps leading into the building. Four policemen are guarding the entrance. The two friends look at each other with a certain trepidation. They look at Alex, who nods confidently and leads the kids up the steps.
All right, Mr. February. Let's go show these guys how married we are.
What the heck?
They make their way up the steps holding hands. Inside the building's entrance lobby, they're met by their fellow firefighters, who are all in black dress uniform, blue shirts, black ties, and carrying their peaked caps under their arms.
What are you guys doing here?
We're here to apologize and back you up, like you always did for us.
Yeah, we all lost a lot of friends on this job that we will never get back. We don't want to lose two more because we were being thick-headed.
Yeah, we're partners for life. Not partners like used to, but you know what I mean. I love you guys.
He hugs them. They start to head into the courtroom. Ronaldo lingers.
Hey, Chucky.
Yeah?
I gotta ask you something. I mean, why'd you pick Larry? I mean, I work out, I tweeze my unibrow. Am I not good looking enough for you or some shit?
No. Oh, Ronaldo, you're just not my type. You're a 10. I just like him chubby. That's my thing.
Chuck follows the other guys.
I'm a 10. You hear that? I'm a 10. Woo!
On a scale to 100.
You're just jealous, because gay guys like me.
In the courtroom.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Daniel Banks, City Council President, and I'll be presiding over these proceedings.
It's going to be a long day, so let's dispense with the preliminaries and just get started. Mr. Fitzer.
Mr. Banks has neat gray hair and a mustache. Fitzer fidgets next to him.
Thank you, your councilship.
Fitzer spits his gum into a wrapper and puts it into his hip pouch.
It's for later. Mr. Valentine, please tell us why you married Mr. Levine.
Larry and Chuck are at the first table in front of the councillors.
Love.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Gay love!
Please sit down, sir. Sorry.
Kevin's a few rows back from the defendants.
Mr. Levine.
Yeah.
16 local women claim to have had sexual relations with you as recently as mid-April, including 4 Canadian strippers the morning of your marriage.
It's true, I did have sexual relationships with them girls, but I was kind of having a commitment issue. Larry's forgiven me for that, and that's all that counts to me is what Larry thinks.
That's right, Fitzer, you suck!
One more, and you're out, sir.
Sorry, sir, you're cool. He sucks. I'm gay. I'm out. Right.
Fitzer whispers to Banks.
Gentlemen, at this time, we'd like to interview you individually. Mr. Levine, please step outside.
Alex nods at Chuck.
Yeah, no problem.
Chuck stands up.
I miss you.
I miss you too, buddy.
Yeah. Ah, I like it rough!
One for the road.
I did the cooking until Chuck moved in. The toilet was thankful.
He ain't the greatest chef in the world. I'm Wolfgang Puck to his Wolfgang Suck.
We met back in the Fire Academy in 1987.
I was top of our class.
He burned off his eyebrows first day. Gone.
Larry tried to eat the fire. I remember that.
His favorite song, Don't Fear the Reaper, Blue Oyster Cult.
You're Beautiful by James Blunt, and people think I'm the woman.
You're beautiful. Just gets me every time.
You're beautiful. That is a nice song.
The thing he likes most about me is probably my love handles. All of them.
I'd say my sweet, sensitive eyes, like that of a kitten.
He blinks rapidly with a demure smile.
The worst day we ever had on the job?
This little kid fell in a swimming pool.
Chuck was the first one there.
I dove in.
He pulled him out.
I worked on him.
Worked on him.
worked on them, but...
Larry stayed with me all that night. Just couldn't get that kid out of my head.
When my wife died...
That was the worst.
I collapsed.
He knew it was coming, but...
What we have, it's beyond friendship.
He's the best man I know.
I'd do anything for him.
I love him.
Chuck waits nervously on a bench outside the courtroom.
What's going on? How'd you do?
It's good. There's no problem.
You want me to grab those, see if they're real again?
I'm sorry?
I says, are we done yet?
Not quite. They want to talk to the kids.
Now why don't you tell us about their sleeping arrangements?
Dad and Uncle Chuck sleep in the same bed.
Do you know why?
Because they do everything together. Just like Will and Grace.
Fitzer sneers. Chuck glances at Larry.
It is kind of an unusual situation, isn't it? Having two fathers?
I don't have two fathers.
Fitzer looks pointedly at Mr. Banks.
I have my daddy, and Uncle Chuck is more like a mommy, because to me he seems like a girl.
Why am I a woman? I don't get it.
Okay, that's all, thank you.
Bottom of those dolphins. Orcas, gray whales, harbor seals, and West Indian manatees.
Huh?
Species that sometimes mate with the same sex. Bottlenose dolphins, orcas, gray whales, harbor seals, and West Indian manatees.
I didn't know that, but now I'm glad I do. Thank you, my dear.
Fitzer leans towards a security guard.
Remind me never to go skinny dipping with the bottlenose dolphins.
The man glares at him. Duncan stands up from amongst the ranks of firemen.
I just have to say that as a fellow gay fireman... That's right, fellas, I'm gay. You guys have a problem with that?
Nah, no problem. Whatever you like. Yeah.
And Chuck and Larry, you've inspired me to want to find my soulmate. Wherever he may be.
Hey, I'm a 10.
You're not my type, sorry.
Fitzer, can we wrap this up?
I just have one more question to ask if these gentlemen would indulge me for a moment.
By all means, Mr. Fitzer.
Chuck, Larry, would you say that there's a fair amount of passion in your relationship?
Absolutely.
More passion than you can imagine, boys. Yes.
How wonderful. Now, if you'd be so kind, I'd like you to kiss each other.
You like to, what was that?
Councilman Banks, my clients have been more than accommodating, and to ask for a display of intimacy in the middle of a crowded room is simply demeaning.
I'm afraid I have to agree. We seem to have gone from a hearing about fraud to some kind of weird gay witch hunt.
I'm just saying, Your Exelegance, that if these two men are as in love as they say they are, I don't see why this should be a problem. I'm just asking for one kiss, Councilman.
Yeah, come on, fellas, show them how real men kiss. Come on!
I will not stand for it.
No, the councilman agreed. It's demeaning to us. Plus, we don't want to get you all horny. Me and this guy, we get steamy.
Yes, 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 yes,
order. Order.
You know what? Just go for it.
Well?
Chuck and Larry stand facing each other.
I guess it's showtime.
Going in straight.
Coming out gay.
Chuck frowns and shakes his head. He shuts his eyes and puckers up. Larry shuts his eyes and puckers up too. They gradually lean towards each other. The children watch. Alex smiles. The firemen grimace. Chuck and Larry's lips are almost touching. Duncan purses his lips as he looks on. The two defendants get closer and closer. Teresa, sitting nearby, sucks her finger suggestively. The fire chief appears at the back of the room.
I'd rather change my grandfather's diaper than see two straight guys kissing.
But we're not straight.
We're in gay love, Captain. Can't you deal with that?
Oh, shut up. If these gentlemen are gay, then I'm a one-legged parrot. Anybody seen me with a crutch and a cracker? I didn't think so.
And who might you be, sir?
Captain Phineas J. Tucker, Councilman. You may search my record. I hold multiple citations from Mayor Dinkins, Mayor Koch, and, of course, the great Mayor Giuliani. Well, let me tell you something. These men definitely broke the rules. They lied on a government form and they swore it was true, which is despicable. But, interestingly enough, Excellency, even though they were deceitful to us all, I actually believe they ended up doing some good.
What good are you speaking of, Captain?
Well, first off, they let us know that when a friend is in need, you go beyond extraordinary lengths to help out. Whenever, whatever. That's the code. Then they apparently inspired fellow firefighter Fred G. Duncan to come out of his supersized closet, thus releasing his rage and preventing what looked like to be an inevitable killing spree.
Duncan beams at the captain with a clenched fist.
And most importantly, they showed us that no matter whom we choose to love, be they heterosexual, homosexual, asexual, bisexual, trisexual, quadrisexual, pansexual, transsexual, omnisexual, or that thing where the chick ties a belt around your neck and tinkles on a balloon.
Chuck looks confused. Teresa smiles knowingly.
It has absolutely nothing to do with who we are as people.
Some of the spectators are on their feet. Chuck nods at Larry. Alex appears a little shocked by the revelations. Larry glances at Chuck with concern, then faces forwards.
It's true, Councilman Banks.
He looks at Chuck for reassurance.
We're not gay.
No. Unfortunately, we hurt people. People we wouldn't want to hurt in a million years by doing what we did. For the record, the word faggot, that's a bad word. Don't use it. I used to say it more than anybody, but I was ignorant. It's hurtful. It's like, kike for me.
Or fat boy for me. This thing's low when you poke fun of my weight.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, sometimes.
I only do it because you do it.
I know, but I work hard.
What is this? Gaze of our lives? Should we cue the violins? This isn't a folk concert, it's a hearing. And I believe I hear the sound of two felons going to jail for stealing from the city of New York.
What exactly have we stolen? Nothing. Due to a weird rule in a flawed system, my friend Larry here had to create this lie.
The system may be flawed at times, Mr. Feb Blueberry. I'm in a calendar. But it's the law. And we all have to abide by it.
Mr. Banks beckons the security guard.
I'm sorry, but you did break the law.
Councilman Banks. Councilman.
Well, you better have cuffs for three, because I'm going to jail with them.
How's that, Captain?
I'm a co-conspirator. I know all about this little scam from day one, and I didn't say a thing about it.
Yeah. Captain, you don't have to do this.
He didn't know nothing.
Fine, I'll have all three of you arrested.
Another fireman stands in the gallery.
Slap some cuffs on me, because I helped him plan the wedding. I drove him to the airport.
I picked out Chuck's dress.
Yeah, I know about it.
Dress? Why does everybody assume I'm the woman? It's the way I walk? What is it?
And I caught the bouquet in my mouth. I liked it.
Chuck turns to Mr. Banks.
Yeah, that's the way it works with us firemen, sir. You throw one of us in a fire, we all go rushing in.
Yeah!
You throw one of us in jail, you gotta throw the whole lot of us in jail.
So, what's it gonna be?
All the firemen are sitting in a cell.
Everything would have been fine if you just let me and Larry make out like we were gonna. Then you had to go all Newt Rockley on us.
I am your commanding officer. I will not be addressed in that manner.
Not in here, you're not your porcupine head.
No, in here, you're the big mouth who got us locked up. We should whip your ass.
Yeah. Larry's on a bench looking out of a little window. A group have gathered on the pavement outside with placards saying, "Free our firemen."
What?
Yo, Dun-Dun. You got a visitor.
Mr. Banks approaches the bars of the cell.
Well, gentlemen, that was quite a hearing.
Mr. Levine, Mr. Ballantyne.
All right.
The city would like to offer you a deal. We're willing to drop all charges and allow you to keep your benefits with two conditions. One, you plead guilty to falsifying a government form. The charge is reduced to a misdemeanor. You get a slap on the wrist and the city saves face.
Done. Absolutely.
Two, you're celebrities in the gay community now. They've obviously not only accepted your apology, they think you're heroes. Sure. Now, raising money for AIDS research is still very crucial. And the community has figured out a way for you all to help.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
What do you need us to do?
We're in.
Inside a gay bookstore, a couple of chaps flick through the Brooklyn Firefighters calendar. January and February feature a couple of the firemen wearing very little. In April, Duncan, in tight orange pants, is bouncing on a trampette. Other highlights are October, where Kevin's up a tree in a catsuit, November, where the Japanese chaplain is reclining naked behind a strategically placed little dog, and December features a bare-chested Chuck in the arms of Larry, who's dropped his trousers. Captions, 2 months later. Back at the Two Hearts Wedding Chapel, Duncan in a white suit and Kevin in a pink one are holding hands in front of the chaplain and a small congregation.
These two guys right here are talking about doing something pretty serious. Making a commitment to love each other forever. Now, before, they were on the down low, living a life that was a lie. Now, in a lie, it's like a circle. It never ends. You know, it's not like a rectangle. But that has a bunch of places that stop. And this one is a big circle.
Okay, outside. You know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Moving on.
I'm going to move quicker now. Hi. Do you, Kevin Butterfly McDonough, take Fred G. Duncan to be your lawful wedded partner?
I dizzo.
And do you, Fred G. Duncan, take this guy over here to be your lawfully wedded partner?
I do.
Well, then, by the power vested in me, by Commonwealth of Canada and the province of Ontario, which has always been very pro-gay, unlike that uptight country to the south, it's my pleasure to now pronounce you husband and husband, the partners for life.
Kevin and Duncan have a big kiss. The congregation appear delighted. Kevin bounds into Duncan's arms, and with a huge grin, the big man carries him down the aisle. At the back of the chapel, Ron the mailman puts his arm round the shoulder of the old wino, who looks blank for a moment, then nestles his head against Ron's chest. The post-wedding bash is underway. There's a small circular dance floor beside a lake. Tables and chairs are set out at the water's edge, where the wedding guests are sat chatting. In a pinstripe suit and white shirt, Chuck approaches Alex, who's by herself at a table in a red dress.
There's my lawyer.
You don't want to dance, do we?
I don't think so.
Your brother forgave me, now why can't you?
Well, my brother wasn't the one that you felt up under false pretenses.
You mean you only let me touch your boobs because you thought I was gay? That's sexist. I could bring that to the courtroom. You could be my lawyer.
She shakes her head with a smile.
Look at Larry, though. Looks like he took my advice and moved on, which is great for him, but I don't have anybody to hang out with anymore. I mean, these bracelets here, says friends forever. I haven't taken this thing off since we made them that day. You?
She shows him her bare wrists.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
She's wearing it on her ankle.
I won't let you down. I will not give you up. Gotta have some faith in the sound.
Well, you've got about 30 seconds before I come to my senses.
She holds out her hand.
Really?
Yes.
And this is my jam, too. Come
on. What a delicious-looking cake. Oh, maybe Tori would like to try it.
That's nice. You're gay. You have daughters. Nice.
No, I'm not gay. This is Larry's daughter, Tori.
Oh, it's okay, man. You could come out of the download.
I have to come out. I'm married.
Which one's your husband? You point him out.
No, the lady in there.
Which guy?
No guy.
No. Hey, you know when you lie, it's like a circle.
Take these lies and make them true somehow.
Chuck's now dancing with Alex. Larry's dancing with an attractive dark-haired woman he'd met earlier, and Eric in a white tux is showing off his tap dancing to some of the assembled firefighters. With the elderly wino doing breakdancing moves around them, Chuck and Larry continue their slow dances with their respective partners. Niagara Falls is lit up by beams of colored light, and on the horizon beyond the illuminated city, there are fireworks exploding in the night sky. The end. That's what you get.